Thank you, Jesus. Anoint your word this night, O God. Use it, Lord, to minister to every single person that's here. Lay a challenge upon every heart, O God. Lord, put an encouragement in every heart as well. Lord, bring understanding. Help each person to see that they must continue to take these steps that you are laying before us. Lord, you have your way. Use your word, O God. Dispel lies and darkness from the people's minds. Lord, defeat the enemy in every soul that's here, O God, so that each can be free and partake of that which is theirs in Christ. Lord, we just love you and we appreciate you. We just commit this word into your hands and believe that you'll be able to use it in a marvelous way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak on something that I've entitled, In Your Patience. In Your Patience. I feel strongly that some of you really need encouragement. You need the Word of God to encourage you. You also need to know more of what God is continuing to expect of you. There are many people, and when I say many, I don't really have any percentage in mind. I'm just meaning that I talk to a number of people that they're losing contact, in a sense, with what God really is expecting of them and what God is really wanting to continue to do. And so I feel that this might be a real help tonight. There are a number of people that have begun to panic, and this is a very dangerous action. If you panic, you're going to do something stupid. You're going to end up losing out with God. That is most likely what will happen. See, panic does not equal faith. It's the opposite of faith. It's an impatience. And this panic will lead you to give up. And you cannot afford to give up. None of us can afford to give up. We cannot stop. If we start to give up, if we start to panic, we are playing right into Satan's strategy. We're doing the very thing that Satan wants us to do. It's the very thing that he's working to get us to do. We cannot afford to do that. We are going through an extremely important, life-changing time for every single one of us. And for some, it's more difficult than it is for others. But I don't care what you're going through. You've got to continue. You've got to remain firm. You've got to pay attention to what God is saying. You've got to get a hold of yourself. You've got to come to your senses. You've got to realize these things are very, very important. It is imperative that we continue to take the right steps. If some of you take some wrong steps right now, you'll miss the rapture. You'll miss the out-translation. You'll miss the bride. You'll lose your soul. You may end up as a martyr during the Great Tribulation. That is not my idea of the way to really glorify the name of Jesus. That is not the higher way. So we've got to take right steps. We've got to make the right decisions that are leading us more to Christ's likeness and not away from the real call of God. Don't do anything now that turns you away from the real call of God. You have been called. You've got a calling in your heart. You know that God's called you. Don't do anything that would compromise that. Don't do anything that would cause you to lose that call of God. Don't do a thing that would rob you of that. I want you to turn to Luke 21, verse 19. And this is the text for the sermon. Luke 21, verse 19. Says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. To expand this verse and give a fuller translation of the Greek would be, in the steadfastness, the constancy, the endurance of you. It's talking about the endurance of you. You have to endure. You will acquire or win yourselves. You'll win for yourselves your souls. We have to acquire our soul. We have to win our own soul, as it were. The devil is out to win our soul. He is out to steal it away from us. We have got to acquire it back by making right decisions, taking the proper steps. So it's emphasizing a steadfastness, a constancy, a continuance, an endurance. Now, this Greek word is hupomone, and it literally is an abiding or remaining under. You abide under something, or you remain under it. It's talking about being under something as ordained of God. God is allowing us to be in situations that we must remain under. We must abide under them. If we try to weasel out of them, we're not going to ever be the people that God wants us to be. You have got to recognize that God is trying to do something significant. And it doesn't matter what you feel tonight. It doesn't matter what you can see tonight. It's still the truth. He is trying to make you into a man of God. He's trying to make you into a woman of God. He's trying to make us into His bride. And each step is part of the process. And every step is important. Every single step on a journey is important, isn't it? Every step is. You cannot get to the destination without taking all those individual steps. The devil is very clever. He works with us to get us to step out from under what God has placed upon us. Very cleverly getting us discouraged, frustrated, impatient, not seeing that all of these things are adding up into something that's making us into what God wants us to be. We don't see how one service could have that much bearing, but you keep adding up every single service, and they have much bearing. You add up every hour in Bible college. You add up every minute you're praying. You add up every moment that you're in the Word. You add all those up, and it's taking you to a destination. And there's trials and problems and difficulties along the way that you must remain under. You must remain under them if that's what God's will is at that point in time. Don't remain under anything that God doesn't want you to remain under. But what He does want you to stay under, you must. And if you step out from under that, it will hurt your soul. It'll keep you from winning your own soul. It'll keep you from acquiring your own soul. There are things that we must remain under. And as we do, positive things are being produced in our Christian character. Very positive things. Very important things. Now, I want to go through and just give you a number of scriptures where this word is used and make just brief comments. I don't want to spend much time on this. I'll go through it quickly. In Luke 8, verse 15, it says to bring forth fruit with patience. The fruit that God wants to bring forth is only going to come with patience. You don't plant the seed and the fruit is up the next day. It never is. You don't come to the altar and plant the seed and the fruit is up the next day. It never works that way. Never does it work that way. Now, it may look that way in some cases. And God may have to do some things because the person will never come to the altar again unless he doesn't do something tonight. But if God has His way, He wants to keep bringing that person to that altar night after night, day after day, because He's going to be able to build something. So that when God finally comes down and does what He really wants to do, that person can be really used of God. That's what He really wants to do. In Romans 2 and verse 7, it says, by patient continuance. And patient continuance is hupomone. It says, by patient continuance in well-doing. And he's talking about the way we're to live our life. Patient continuance. We must live that way. It's talking about an endurance. In Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, he talks about how tribulation worketh patience. And it shows that God knows how to build patience in us. And we need that patience to make it. Patience is not listed as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But it's still something that God produces. He uses tribulation. He uses experiences. He uses difficulties. He uses circumstances, situations. He is using these deliverance services to build patience in your souls. And that is vital. It's absolutely vital. See, He allows the test, but He will not let us be tested more than what we're able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And He allows the test to build the endurance that He knows that we need for the race that He set before us. We must let these tests work for us. We must let them work for us. And we've got to stop asking, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. He's trying to build something in you. Trying to build something so you won't be blown away by future storms, by future tests, by persecution. God does not want to lose you. You can use an example of a track coach. And you can take Hebrews 12 and verse 1 where he says that we're to run this race with patience. That track coach knows exactly how to make that runner successful. And it's not an easy process. And there's a lot of hard work. God is having to do the same thing, but it's in the spiritual realm. That runner, he may question his coach, but he has confidence in that coach. And especially when he starts winning races. When you start winning battles, you get more confidence in the coach. Many of you are winning and you're finding that Jesus really knows what he's doing. You see that he's let you go through things and now it's producing victories. And you're saying, praise the holy name of Jesus. But during it, there were a few questions. There were a few doubts, a few fears. Well, that's pretty normal to the human race, especially with all the demons attacking. But don't lose track of the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, it reads literally that he is bringing us into the love of God as well into the endurance of Christ. He is trying to make us those that endure just like Christ did. Christ endured a great deal. He endured the cross. We must endure the cross. We're going to go through great suffering. We're going to go through difficulties. But God knows how to build the endurance in us so that we can go through it. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. Because there are going to be things out here that will be difficult. They will be. And unless we have been made strong in God, we will not pass those tests. We won't make it. In Hebrews 10 and verse 36, it says, "For ye have need of patience." We need patience. We need this endurance. We need real guts. We need real determination. We need real conviction. We need to be... perfect work. Let it have its perfect work. What will that perfect work be? It'll be the bride of Christ. It'll be growing into the fullness of the stature of Christ, into that perfect man of Ephesians. That's what it'll be. In Revelation 3 and verse 10 to the Philadelphia church, it says, "You have kept the word of my patience. Therefore, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that will come upon all the face of the earth." We must keep that word of patience. The Word of God shows us what we have to remain under, and we've got to stay under it. It's building something. Now, this is the noun form. There's hupomone. The verb form is hupomeno. And I'll give you a few examples of this, and most of these are translated endure. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, it says, "Those that endure until the end shall be saved." We have got to continue to run until we pass the tape. We have got to pass the finish line. I don't want to lose that 1 week before the rapture. I don't want to miss out one day before the rapture. Do you know that the devil will be battling us one day before the rapture? He's going to be trying to destroy us one day before the out translation. We're going to be dealing him death blows the whole time, though. And I think he's going to be glad that we're finally gone. But I don't want to lose out. I don't want to miss the rapture 1 hour before. I don't want to miss it 1 year before. I don't want to miss it 10 years before. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss out. I want to be saved. I want to be able to hear, "Now is come salvation." That's what I want to hear. I want to be there. I want to be right there to hear it firsthand. I want to be like him. I want to know him. I want to see him face to face. I want to endure until the end. I don't want to stop. I don't care what comes my way. And God is going to make us people just like this, that we don't care. We're not asking for all sorts of trials and difficulties, but if they come, God is allowing them and God is using them, and we know that it's for our best interest's sake. See, God's trying to make something in us. Parents learn this with their children. Children like candy. They want candy morning, noon, and night. They want all sorts of things morning, noon, and night. You have to say no, 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 no. A parent has to say no a great amount of the time. If the parent says yes, all those times, that child will become worthless. That child will be just a worthless piece of humanity, and that is the truth. That child must be trained. We need to be trained. Do you know we don't really know what's best for us? If we were all to choose the kind of life that we thought was best, oh, would it be the life of Riley? It would be in the hammock with lemonade and corn chips, I suppose, or something. Bag of M&Ms. It wouldn't get us anywhere. It wouldn't build anything in us. What's happened in our society? We're immature. We're irresponsible. We have no convictions. We're scared by little bugs. Somebody goes boo and we jump 12 feet. We have been raised in materialism. If you can't have it right now, it's not worth having. That has really caused devastation in our souls. And that's the way most of you are. And God sees that. How's he ever going to have somebody coming into the manifestation of the sons of God with that kind of character? He's got a lot of work to do. We must submit totally to him and say, thou knowest what's best. Another verse is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, where it talks about if we suffer. But the Greek is hupomeno, which means if we endure. And he's talking about enduring, continuing, fighting, continuing to do whatever God has. And then one of the references, James 5 and verse 11, which says, those that have endured, they're happy. We count those that have endured, those that have already passed on before us, we count them as happy. We count them as very happy. We are very envious of them. We want to be there with them. We want to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. How did they get there? They endured. They endured. What did they endure? Shipwrecks, persecution, martyrdom, sufferings, all sorts of different things. Difficult lives, many of them very, very difficult lives. Very hard. Is it worth it? They're all saying yes. They're all counting this life as a light affliction. Right now that seems pretty incredible to most of us. But we're going to see some things happen that's going to cause us to be a people that have real strength in God. It's going to happen. Who knows exactly what will take place? Only God does. But he's making us into people that will live for him no matter what. No matter what. Take our jobs away, we'll live for him. Tragedy comes, we'll live for him. Deep trials, we'll live for him. No matter what, we've got to live for him. Realize, in your patience, you will acquire your deliverances. In your patience, you will acquire your deliverances. You'll win your deliverance if you'll walk in your patience. You will win. You will overcome. You will be victorious. You will be free. If you'll continue patient before God, trusting him. I'm not talking about becoming passive. I'm not talking about going home and laying down and just saying, well, I'll just lay here and be patient waiting for God. No, that's never going to do it. You've got to be seeking him. You've got to be knocking. You've got to be asking. We must become men and women of importunity. We keep banging on that door until the bread is given. We will not go away. We will not be denied. But you've got to keep knocking. That's where the patience is. Will you keep knocking? How much do you want to be free? How much do you want to be a man of God? How much do you want to be in the bride? How much do you want it? I want it with all my heart. I want it. And I know that God's going to keep building that in me, and he's going to keep building it in all of us if we'll continue. God is trying to build something inside, a blazing hope that cannot be extinguished. A hope that is blazing, just blazing. You have hope in God no matter what. And nobody can extinguish it. The devil can't extinguish it. Trials can't extinguish it. Nothing will. Jesus is putting us through a time that is working to make us strong, steadfast, determined, committed, sold out, and surrender to the will of God. That's what he's doing. Many of you are really going through it. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. He's trying to make you into something. We need that revelation. If we could get that revelation as a body of believers, it would change the church. Now, God is doing fantastic things as it is. But, I want all of you to have this revelation. I want you to see that God is in control. He sees your life. He knows what you're going through. He counts the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows just how far he can push you. He knows just how long he can leave you in that test. He knows all those things. He has not forgotten about you. Well, I've been praying. I've been waiting for my deliverance. I've been doing everything I've been told to do. Then you're right in the middle of God's will. You're right where you need to be. Don't quit. Keep doing it. Don't give up. He's causing us to set our faces as flint. That's what it says in Isaiah 50 and verse 7. And we'll also note Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Isaiah 50 verse 7. It says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed." Setting your face like flint. Flint is a very hard rock. Setting your face toward the will of God, toward what He commands, following what He says, no matter what. Not being turned away. Not being turned away. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. Jacob wrestled. He wrestled and wrestled. He would not be denied. He was blessed. He received of God. All of you will receive of God if you'll wrestle, if you'll set yourself. You're going to have to find your will. Some of you are going to have to pray that God will show you you've got a will and find it. And then call on God to give you strength to exercise it. And He'll do all those things. But we've got to get a hold of our will. We've got to get a hold of that. And realize we can make these decisions. You can keep praying. You can keep waiting on God. You will hear from heaven. The more you keep waiting, the closer you get. The more you wait, the closer you get. That's the truth. It's a fantastic truth. You may wait and wait and wait. There's people in our church that have waited years to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? Those that kept waiting finally got filled. One who waited 4 or 5 years just got filled the other day. God filled him. He had to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And God finally did the work. God knew exactly when to do it. God knows why he was holding back. God knows if there was something wrong in him. God knows if there was a demonic block or whatever. God knows all the factors. If we keep waiting on God, God will take care of all those things. That's what he's doing. In Luke 9 and verse 51, it tells us that Christ steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He had to go to the cross. Jesus had to go to the cross. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Where do we have to go? We have got to go to Jerusalem. We have got to go to the cross. We have got to go to the cross no matter what. We've got to go there. This is the way of the cross. The way of the cross is patient continuance. That's the way of the cross. We must seek our deliverances unconditionally. We must stop making excuse for sin or why we cannot do the will of God. I had a lady come to me and ask me a few questions, and I just felt that what she had to do, and this is true for many, many people, it does not just apply to her, she has to close every back door of easy carnal escape. And what I mean is this. She's in a difficult situation, but she has got to set herself to do the will of God, the truth of God, with no conditions. Just, I will do it because God commands it. I won't take any easy way out. I won't let my flesh dictate. Let's say you have a terrible marriage situation. You know what back door you have to close? D-I-V-O-R-C-E, divorce. You must close that door. You must close that. I will never get a divorce. I close that door. I don't care how bad this marriage gets, I will never take that way out. Now, people that set themselves like that are going to get deliverance. They are. People have got to set themselves, I'm going to live the truth whether I've got demons or not. That's what you have to do. You have got to come to that. There are many people, and not just here, but anywhere, that, see, they use these things as excuses. And they can keep giving into this sin because they got this demon. Then keep giving into this sin because they have this weakness. That is invalid. God does not look on that and say, I accept that reasoning. He does not accept that reasoning. Now, if you set yourself to live the truth, and you dedicate and you keep stumbling, that's entirely different. Because you're not using that thing as an excuse. Every time you fall, you repent. You weep. You cry out to God. But the person that uses it as their, well, see, this is my excuse. This makes it all right. Sin is never all right. Yielding to a demon is never all right. It is never acceptable. What do we tell the people during deliverance? Don't let that thing manifest. Don't ever let a demon manifest. Ever. Now, if it's going to, it's going to. But don't ever just yield to it. Never yield to a demon. Never. Whether it's at the home or here or on the job or anywhere, there's no excuse. No excuse for it. We must do the will of God. We must live for God whether we have demons or not. It can't be based on how we're feeling or how we're doing. I'm going to live for God no matter how I feel. Are you going to do the same thing? Are you going to keep living for God no matter how you're doing right now? I'm doing so terrible. Are you still going to live for God? The answer is yes. I don't care how bad you do. I don't care what sins you fall into. I don't care what snares you get trapped by. Are you going to keep living for God? We have to. What else can we do? What else can we do, really? There's nothing else to do. We must stand and use the Word of God as our whole base. It must be our foundation. The whole basis of our lives is the work of Calvary, and we must constantly look to that. Set yourselves. Really, do this. Take these words that I'm giving you and begin to say in your heart and in your mind, I set myself to live for God. Not by my strength, but by yours. And I call upon you. And I'm not going to stop calling on you. That's the key to the whole issue. Don't stop calling on God. He's the only hope. Stand firm. I will stand firm against that sin. That sin. I label it as sin. God labels it as sin. Pastor labels it as sin. Everybody labels it as sin. That's what it is. I will not give in to that. Fight it. Fight it. Keep calling on God for strength. Believe God. He'll see you through. You'll be changed. You'll become a different person. Place all your trust in Jesus. We must become what is ours in Christ. We've got to become what is ours in Christ. It's already been purchased for us. Endure that trial. Endure those demons. We still got demons. We still got a lot of them. They're still bothering us. But we have to endure those demons. Because God has not come down yet and just delivered us of them. We still got them. We're still having to live for God, though. So even though there's demons, endure. Even though those demons are still on you, you, I guess God is saying, abide under those. In a certain sense. I've left them here, you keep living. I put them in your backpack for a while. I'm going to see what you'll do with them. He's put some weights in the backpack. Why? To build the legs. To build the back. To build some determination. You don't take somebody out backpacking. This is why I can't imagine such an afternoon called enjoyment and recreation with a 50-pound pack on your back. I mean, I just can't even comprehend such a thing. Now, if it was 3 or 4 ounces or 5 or 6 candy bars, well, then maybe I'd be first one in line. But 50 pounds, you got to be kidding. And people take out more than that. I can't even relate to such a thing. Well, that's the way these demons kind of are to us. They've got our backpack weighed down. But we've been seeking God. We've been calling on God. But yet somehow, in some of the cases, they're not much being taken out of the backpack yet. What does that mean God wants? Keep carrying it. Keep humbling yourself before your brethren so they can help you carry it as well. But you've got to carry it. You've got to keep carrying it. If you just throw it off and bolt out the door, you'll never make it. I don't want you to lose out. God doesn't want you to lose out. I hope you realize that there have been a lot of people waiting on God day after day after day, and they still haven't really got delivered. Some really haven't experienced any deliverance yet. Are they giving up? No. It's making them more determined. It's building something in them. They're learning how to walk by faith. That's what we've got to learn. The sooner we learn it, the better off we're going to be. We keep pushing things off that are for our benefit, not even knowing that it's for our benefit. That's what we do many, many times. There's various problems that we have to endure. There's some people, their marriages, we've got a lot of wonderful marriages. We have some others that the devil has really been wreaking some havoc with. But those people that keep waiting on God. One brother shared with me something. He finally saw. I was so thrilled. I mean this. I'm not belittling him at all. I was thrilled. God finally got through and showed him that the problem was the demons in the marriage. I was so thrilled. That is a huge victory right there. Really? You say, well, everybody should know that. Yeah, that's always the way it is when you're the third-party observer. But when you're right in it, it's not so easy to see. You're right there experiencing those lies and the deceptions. It's not so easy to see. God finally broke through and it could show him that. That is a major thing. That's fantastic. Some people aren't even that far. because they haven't been doing the business that he's been doing. Now, he hasn't been able to come and really pray with all that much intensity, but we've been getting people to pray with him. We've been encouraging him. He's been opening up. God's doing something. God doesn't ask for that much. He's just asking, if all you can do is take a half step, take that. If you can take a full step, take that. But don't take the steps backwards. They won't do us any good. Now, let me share something here with you. I think this is very important. There are a number of people that have a wrong picture of these waves of the Spirit. And I'm not saying that I have a perfect picture of it, but I want to share something that I feel is very important for you to understand. Some right now are in panic for fear that they are missing these moves of the Spirit. They're afraid they're missing them. Let me explain. Who is in these waves? Who isn't in these waves? Let me tell you. Now listen carefully. This first wave that we had started back with the Satellite Church in Chippewa Falls. And we could describe it as involving a spiritual surgery and the love of God. It involved those things. And it involved really feeling and experiencing God. Now, many, many people prayed, had all sorts of people praying for them. They were praying for all sorts of people. They sought God with all their heart and hardly ever felt a thing. Now, did that person miss that wave of the Spirit? No! They did not miss it. They didn't. Can you believe that? If you can, it'll help you a great deal, because some of you are believing you missed that wave and you didn't. You did everything that you knew to do. The rest is up to God. If you do everything you're supposed to do, how could you have missed it? He must have seen something that needed to be done before he can do further things. And he's doing those things. I noticed after we had our chapel classes, the chapel services before Bible college, and at beginning in September of last year, we started and we just prayed. And most of the chapels were just prayer and singing and worshiping the Lord like that in the Spirit. And I don't remember really ever seeing anybody slain in the Spirit there. I don't remember seeing anybody dancing in the Spirit. I don't really ever remember seeing anybody that had a fantastic experience. But everybody was doing exactly what they were supposed to do. They were. They were right in the middle of God's will. Absolutely. They were doing the will of God. After a while, we felt that it would be good to stop having the chapels like that and begin to open it up to body ministry. Guess what kind of testimonies we had? Fantastic testimonies. Testimonies of victory. Now, the people that testified, many of them never felt a thing as they prayed. But they were drastically changed. They were made into different people. Now, did they miss that wave? No, they did not miss it. God was doing something in them. If that's what God wants to do and they didn't have any feelings, that's up to God. That's the truth. It's really the truth. Feeling was not proof that you entered that first wave. Because you may have come in here, prayed a little bit one night, the power of God came down upon you, and then never came back to pray again. Now, did you enter that first wave? No. You didn't. Because you didn't keep your heart one with it. You didn't keep waiting on God. Just because you had an experience doesn't mean you entered it. That is really the truth. The proof as to whether or not you entered that first wave is your life, your commitment to Jesus, your commitment to this church, to this move of God. That's the real proof. And that is the truth. That's really true. I did not have any real experience with that first wave, but I know that I was a part of it. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. I didn't have any glorious experience, but I know that I was one heart with it. I was joined to it. I was part of it. If I had no experience, that's up to God. Because I can't buy an experience with the money I got in my wallet. I can't do it. That's up to God. But I was doing everything that I knew to do with as pure a heart as I know to have, confessing every sin and a few hundred besides, repenting morning, noon, and night, waiting on God. The rest is up to Him. And He was the one that was causing that in my life anyway. Changed my life. I know I was part of that. Those experiences are going to come anyway. They're going to come. We're going to have experiences. I guarantee all of you will have fantastic experiences in God. Jesus will become absolute reality to you if you'll continue. Absolute, total reality in your lives. Now, the second wave is these deliverances. The question is this. Does everyone who wants the next wave have to totally be delivered of demons before they can move on? There's no way that everybody's going to be totally delivered of demons before the next wave will come or they can enter into it. There's no way. That is not what God is saying. He is not saying that. I have talked to a number of people who have made it like September 1st was the cutoff date. If you're not delivered by September 1st, well, sayonara, your ship is sunk. Might as well go down to the Baptist church. Might as well join some other church. Might as well quit God. That's totally false. Why would we hire two people to be on staff full-time for deliverance starting September 13th of September 1st, the cutoff day? I guess Don didn't get the revelation, huh? Us elders must be in the dark. Deliverance is going to continue and continue. The key is whether or not you're really selling out. Are you selling out? Are you coming to the cross? That's the key. That's the whole issue. Are you living the truth no matter what? We should all make a vow. I'm going to live the truth no matter what. I'm going to live it no matter what. Of course, by the strength of God, but I'm going to do that. When I fall, I'm going to be quick to repent. Are you seeking God? Are you learning to pray? Some of you are learning to pray, and it is the most painful thing that could ever be asked of mankind. It is painful. To ask people to wait on God is worse than pulling teeth. It is. It is horrible. Here I am every night watching you die a million deaths. I sometimes feel so sorry for you. I see some of you, you're just dead there. It's so hard to pray, but it's just what you need. It's just what you need. I've watched people go out this door and Lord, somehow bring them back. One lady walked out. She doesn't know who she is. I mean, she knows who she is. She doesn't know that I know about this. But she asked me to get somebody to pray for her. I just couldn't get anybody to pray for her. She needed to pray by herself. She just needed to do that. I couldn't really tell her that, but that's the way it was going to be. And she prayed for a little while long, and then I saw her walk out, and I just, don't, devil, you're not going to keep her away. Lord, just bring her back. She came back the next day, got tremendous deliverance, and I just said, praise the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He is making people have to learn how to pray. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's not a real pleasant thing. But it's getting us somewhere in God. It's getting us somewhere in the kingdom of God. Is your heart one with us in what God is presently doing? If you can say yes, you're part of this wave. If you're saying yes to all these things, you're right where you need to be. Is your life changing? There's not one person that's been coming to these prayer meetings on a regular basis that has not had their life changed. Whether you feel it or not, you've been changed. You can ask people around you and they'll say, brother, you're different. You're talking about the things of God all the time. You're talking about you want to pray all the time. You're talking about the Bible all the time. You're talking about fighting the devil. You're talking about loving Jesus. You weren't like that 2 months ago. I guess I have changed, huh? Sometimes numero uno is the last guy to figure out that he's changed. That's because the devil keeps those blinders over his eyes for a long time. God's going to break through all that too. Realize there is an overlap with each wave of the Spirit. There's a great overlap. And each one of these waves, they're going to continue for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised to see this wave of deliverance to continue right up to the rapture. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. Some probably need the next wave in order to gain more of their deliverance. Some of you right now, what you need to do is just start praising Jesus. Just loving Jesus. Just say, demons, I forget you. I'm not going to worry about you anymore. I've already made all decisions against you. I'm going to just love Jesus. I don't care. You can stay here all the time you want. I'm going to love Jesus. I love you, dude. Praise your holy name. I'm going to minister for God. People start doing that. They're going to start finding this next wave come down in their life. And those demons are going to scamper out of there mighty fast. That's the truth, and that's happened to a lot of people already. Many people have been delivered as they've been praying for somebody else. They got delivered praying for somebody else because they took their eyes off themselves, just fastened them on Jesus, and look at what God was able to do. God knows exactly what he's doing. He is in no rush. God is in no rush. Do you know that? He's not in any hurry. He's taking his time. He's trying to make something that'll last. He must take his time because he's trying to produce something without spot or wrinkle. He's trying to produce something that has no blemish. Don't you think that's going to take some time? He's trying to make men of God. He's trying to make women of God. We don't even know what that is. We really don't. We got definitions, but as far as really knowing what a man of God is, we don't really know yet. We can read about David, we can read about Samson, we can read about whoever, we can read about other men more in our day and age, like William Branham and Gordon Lindsay and all the rest. But as far as what really made up their life, morning, noon, and night, and the communion they had with God and the relationship they had with Jesus, what really made them a man of God, God is only going to be able to do that by His Spirit in our lives. You can't really define it, explain it, and really put it into words. It has to be experienced. It's going to take some time to experience that. Set your mind upon God. Just set your mind upon Him. Bring every thought into captivity. Don't listen to those negative thoughts. Don't listen to them. Pray without ceasing. Keep your heart just set on Jesus. Hope in God. Hope in Him. Some of you need, as I mentioned, just to really start praising the Lord. Just really love Him. You need to practice standing on God's Word. Just practice standing on it. And what I mean by that is, okay, this is what the Word says. I'm going to live that. I'm going to be the best father I can be in my family. I'm going to be the best husband that I can be. I'm going to be these things. I'm going to step out. I'm going to rest in God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to walk with God. Let me read two verses in closing here. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to realize that God knows what He's doing. He has not forgotten about you. He's not giving up on you. He's not looking down and saying, you're just not worth delivering. He's not doing that. Every one of you is worth delivering. He loves you. That's why you're worth delivering. He gave His Son for you. He's going to do it. It says, faithful is He that calleth, who also will do it. He is faithful. He called you, and He said He'd do something. Now, is He going to do it or isn't He? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And then Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. God will not fail. We need to trust God's timing. Now, if you're going to keep going on in your sin, if you won't come to the cross and say, okay, the Word of God says to live this way, and I'm going to live this whether I got 50 demons, 10 demons, or no demons. I'm going to live this truth whether I'm tempted or not, whether tragedy comes into my life or not, whether there's problems, difficulties, I lose my job, lose my house, I don't care what, I'm going to live for God. That's what we have to start doing. That is the commitment. If you're not really coming to those commitments, then God's not going to be able to do much. He's going to keep trying to draw you, but until you really make those commitments, He's not going to just come down and deliver you, because you couldn't walk in that deliverance anyway. He wants you to walk in it. He wants you to stay free. I told this one woman, had a problem in her marriage, I said, you need to dedicate yourself to be the wife your husband needs, no matter what demons you have. And she had quite a host of demons. Couldn't even really identify them yet. Just wasn't sure all that could be there. Been praying about it, praying against them, having people praying with her. Said, well, you've been praying, you've been waiting on God. Have you done this? Have you made this commitment? Have you come to the cross in this manner? And she really hadn't. It was very helpful for her. She took it with faith. And she said, that puts me on the offensive, doesn't it? That means I'm going to have to battle, doesn't it? And she was excited. She could see that, okay, I'm going to have to go to war. She was going to have to fight through some difficult things. Now, I don't know how she's going to do, but I know if she'll keep her eyes on Jesus, she'll do just fine. I'm not saying she'll do it perfectly. I'm not saying she won't fall. I'm not saying she won't have problems. I'm not saying that she won't have to do some repenting. But if she'll keep doing that, God will see her through. God will see her through. We've got to just say, Lord, You know when to do it. I put it all in Your hands. I put it on Your time schedule. You do it anytime you want, but I'm right here waiting. So that when you want to do it, I'm here available. Some people, God says, I'd like to do it Tuesday night. Well, sorry, I got volleyball. Sorry, that's the night I got to wax the car. Sorry, that's the night I have to go do this. I thought I'd work overtime that night. A lot of excuses have kept people from these prayer meetings. A lot of excuses. A lot of excuses have kept you from your deliverances. Do you know that if all of you would have come every night that you possibly could have, we'd have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more free people than what we do today? It's the truth. What about the person who comes down the altar to get filled with the Holy Spirit? What's going to cause him to get filled quicker than some other person? He'll come every day. He'll do business as often as he can. That's the key. That is the key. Do you know who's at fault in many of the cases where we haven't got our deliverances? It's us. Don't blame the devil. Don't blame the demons. Don't make excuses. It comes back to us. It does. It really does. Now, I am thrilled with the people that have taken a hold of deliverance and have been coming. And the results are fantastic. The results are just absolutely incredible. They're so amazing. It's a glory to God. But many of you that have not been set free in certain areas yet, and I'm talking to you that for some reason you just haven't been able to come because you had these excuses, you probably could be free right now today. You probably could be in a much different place in God right now today. You need to think about that. You may need to do some repenting. You may need to get on your face before God. You may need to make some new vows. You may need to come to the cross. You may need to do that. I think it's a very important thing. We are the clay. How can we rightly fault the potter? How can we do that? He will remove all impurities. That's what he said. He said in that prophecy a couple weeks ago, he will remove all impurities. The gold will be pure. We're going to be made pure. The vessels will be made into vessels of honor. It's going to happen. In your patience, win your souls. Acquire your souls. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Just keep pressing on into the kingdom of God. Ron's going to make a few announcements, and then we'll have a song in closing. So if you just hold steady for a moment.